What's next for the Venezuelan economy?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. And global oil markets are not showing much reaction to the death of the leader of Venezuela, which has the world's second largest oil reserves. Hugo Chavez died yesterday at the age of 58. And for more on what his death means for Venezuela, let's bring in the BBC's Irene Caselli, who is in Caracas. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Well, what's the reaction been so far in Venezuela?
Well, so far there's been a very strong reaction by people in the street overnight. They were gathering around the military hospital where the president had died, and also in downtown Caracas, people were hugging and they were crying. Some people I spoke to, they said that they felt like they lost a father. They felt that now, after having been with Chavez for 14 years as a president, they felt that they were proud of being Venezuelan. And they were part of one large family.
What's happened to the economy under Hugo Chavez in Venezuela?
Just like everything else that has to do with Hugo Chavez, there's a lot of controversy about it. What we can definitely say is that there has been a greater distribution of cash to the poor, while at the same time, several economic indicators are not doing quite so great. The country has a very, very high inflation. It's one of the highest in Latin America. And at the same time, there's also a very strong black market.
Well, so do people feel like things are going to get better now? Do we have any sense of where the country goes next economically?
Well, actually, even economically, this is a very tough time coming up for Venezuela right now, because many observers believe that at least with his charisma and with the love that people felt for him, Hugo Chavez was capable of keeping certain things under control. We can definitely say that Nicolas Maduro, who's most likely going to be taken over from him after elections are held, is going to be faced with quite tough decisions.
The BBC's Irene Caselli in Caracas, Venezuela, for us this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, here in this country, the Dow sits at a record high this morning and looks like it could go higher today. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports on what all that means for ordinary investors.
Who's most susceptible to the news that the Dow is peaking? Richard Peterson with the stock data firm MarketPsych says it's the people on the sidelines.
Those people who maybe pulled out money during the financial crisis are going to feel a real pang of need to get back in.
But invest heavily in the stock market right now, and you risk overpaying, he says. Better to put in a little at a time, because prices tend to go down immediately after a spike.
So if you feel the urge and you want to scratch the itch, so to speak, it's better to wait a week to a month before you start putting some money into the markets.
But Chris Thornburg with Beacon Economics says this isn't a false rise. The market is in an overall recovery, so investors can feel good about getting back in if they do it calmly and slowly.
Keeping what I would have to say is a difficult but nevertheless necessary confidence that in the long run things will get back to where they should be.
Meaning the confidence not to sell off a lot of stock if, when, the market dips back down. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Well, stocks are up in global trading this morning, up more than 2% in Tokyo, up more than 1% right now in Frankfurt. On Wall Street yesterday, as we said, the Dow jumped 125 points to a new record, 14,253.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
Harley-Davidson factories just got a little less cool. The company is no longer allowing music to be played on the assembly lines because of safety concerns. Aaron Toner reports from Milwaukee Public Radio.
The inside of a Harley-Davidson factory is a lot like what you'd expect. Workers in jeans, black t-shirts and bandanas, and a soundtrack in the background, right? Not anymore. Mary Pat Blankenheim is a Harley spokesperson.
We love the fact that Harley-Davidson is associated with cool things like music. However, when it comes to our plants, safety is a priority and music is not.
The idea, she says, is to eliminate distractions and improve performance.
These are folks working on a line. They work in teams. So it's really important to be able to hear what's going on in the work around you.
There are federal rules for how loud a workplace can be, but no specific rules about music in factories. So individual companies have to decide whether it's safe and how music impacts the bottom line. At the Milwaukee company Helios, employees make solar panels while listening to internet radio. Line worker Josh Drain says it helps him get through what can be a pretty monotonous day.
We tend to perk up when we hear one of our songs play. But beyond that, it's just nice to have ambient background music instead of just the very mechanical sounds of the line operating.
Managers at the Helios plant believe music makes employees more productive. And there's plenty of research to support that idea. Teresa Lesiak is a music therapy professor at the University of Miami. She surveyed information technology professionals and found they overwhelmingly reported positive effects of music in the workplace.
It was calming to them, or it provided some excitement when they were needing it. For some others, it was more nostalgia to the music, and somehow that was helpful to them in their work.
But Lesiak does say that for some factory jobs, like driving a forklift, music would certainly be a distraction and even a danger. In Milwaukee, I'm Aaron Toner for Marketplace.
And finally, the word iPhone is about as recognizable as any these days, but it almost didn't make the cut. In a speech at the University of Arizona, a former Apple advertising executive said the following names were also considered: Telepod, Mobi, Tripod, and iPad. I mean, come on, iPad would never sell. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.